let's head into the world of Formula One. And it was an interesting one, certainly over the last 24 hours. And glad to see and chatting to from Autosport, Luke Smith. Luke, afternoon to you.
Afternoon, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad. And as I mentioned yesterday with the Monza Grand Prix, Formula One, I've got to be honest, is sometimes sort of parade-like. We know who's going to win, we know who's not going to win, but this weekend it was certainly something different.
It was, yeah. I mean, I've got to be honest with you, I do agree a lot with Simon. I think when we saw sort of Lewis Hamilton in the opening 10, 15 laps, he was a good sort of 10 seconds clear of the field already. All of his main rivals had already sort of disappeared or fallen back, and it was, he kind of thought, well, that's that then. Like, another easy win for Lewis Hamilton, another step close to Michael Schumacher's record and the world championship. And then the race just got flipped on its head completely. We had a big crash, we had a red flag, we had a penalty for Lewis Hamilton that sent him to the back of the grid. And then Pierre Gasly, who has been through an absolutely incredible ride in the past sort of 12 months or so, fighting through to take his first Grand Prix victory. And just an unbelievable day for Formula One, really.
And then looking at the 1-2-3, really, it's three teams that you would not expect to get on the podium. If you think about it, Red Bull's second team in AlphaTauri, McLaren, who've not been doing well at all for the past 3 or 4 years, and then Lance Stroll with Racing Point.
Yeah, it's incredible. So it's the first race since 2012 in Hungary when you don't have either Mercedes, Ferrari or Red Bull on the podium, because they've just always been there. And it was a real sort of day for the underdogs, which I loved. And it's something that I think is so rare in Formula One nowadays, because we're just so used to the same teams dominating. As you said at the top of the show, like, it can be quite sort of processional, but it just wasn't that at all. And I think it was a great day that showed if the conditions are right, Formula One can still produce these freak results. And I think it's a really cool story for sort of three very young drivers, these young men who sort of like work their whole lives to get into Formula One. And a lot of the time, they never get near the podium. So it's a sort of new experience. So to see all three of them up there, I think, was really, really refreshing for the sport.
And of course, with no fans at the Grand Prix as well, it's not even as if you've got the spectacle of the Tifosi for the Italian Grand Prix at Monza. It just didn't seem right at all, did it?
It didn't, no. It's very, very strange. I mean, we used to sort of the checker flag flying and then seeing the sort of sea of fans in red for Ferrari spilling onto the circuit and standing under that podium. And I think it was very, very strange sort of seeing all these like lovely celebrations for the team. And obviously, AlphaTauri, they're an Italian team, so it meant a lot for them to win there. But to do so in front of no fans whatsoever was really, really bizarre. But I think thankfully, it won't take too much away from, I think, for the experience for the likes of Gasly and Sainz and Stroll. I think to them that would be such a special podium. And even if, I'm sure they'd much rather have done it with a big sea of fans cheering them on underneath.
Talking of the actual race itself, and I've got to be honest, Lewis Hamilton has been so consistent over the last few years, but really had a bit of a brain moment. So, I mean, managing to go past two red flags and deciding to do a pit stop.
Yeah, it was a big slip up from Mercedes, and he basically missed the call saying that the pit entry was closed and he entered the pits anyway and had his car serviced. And that meant that he landed a 10-second stop and go penalty because he had to come to the pits, wait for 10 seconds and then go again. So it ruined his race. It sent him to the back of the field. He was 17th. He was running 30 seconds behind the guy in 16th. So like, he really did well to fight back from there to 7th. But he held his hands up after the race. I asked him, I said, like, how difficult is it to see sort of those signals? And he said that he basically just wasn't aware that that is where the signals would be on the track. And it's quite a basic thing that I think Mercedes will probably sort of maybe work a little bit more on in the future. But they were unlucky in one way, because it was just the timing of everything was so, so fine. And like, the team from the pit wall, they couldn't actually physically see the lights at all just because of where they were sat. And it was just one of these things where lots of little mistakes all added up and proved to be massively costly, denying him what would probably have been quite an easy race win.
I mean, looking at the TV pictures to yesterday, obviously saw the two red light sort of gantries, so to speak. Is there any fault at all from the F1 side and the actual positioning of those so that the driver can see them properly and can make that decision whether to pit or not to pit?
It's an interesting question. Now, I asked this to Hamilton after the race and said, like, how hard is it to see? And he said that if you're going through a right-hand corner, naturally you look to the right, like you're sort of looking at the apex, and as you're bringing the car around, you don't look over to the left-hand side of the track. So he said that that's why he just wouldn't naturally have put his eyesight over there. But the FIA race director, Michael Massey, he explained that all the teams are informed on Thursday, like at the very start of the weekend, where these lights are and basically what the rules are surrounding it. And they said there were three different ways for the information to be relayed to teams that the pit lane was closed. So really there wasn't a huge amount of excuse that could be sort of placed. I think between Hamilton and Mercedes, they should have realised that. Mercedes said that it was literally just as Hamilton came into the pits that one of their engineers who was back at home in their sort of like race operations, NASA-style hub, was able to go, oh, pit lane's closed, and that was just too late, and the damage was done.
Indeed, but I would suspect with that, Luke, that it'd just be a case of it seems to be water off a duck's back with Lewis Hamilton. It'll be a sort of plug and play and get ready for the next Grand Prix.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, he's just relentless at the moment, and he's someone who he doesn't take losing very well at times. On a day like that, like, he was in a really good mood after the race, because I think he was very open about it. He said, yeah, I made a mistake, I'm accountable for it. And he came away with his championship lead over Valtteri Bottas intact, like, it's still 47 points. So that is what it was going into the weekend. His rival has a huge opportunity to take anything out of his championship lead, and I think maximise a rare bad day from Lewis Hamilton. And he'll learn from this. He always does. Like, that's what's made him one of the greatest of all time in our sport. And I think he'll just sort of get on with it and dust himself down and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Obviously, we've got this sort of truncated and different Formula One calendar this year. I mean, explain to people maybe who do know their Formula One, but obviously there always was a list of that you would know that this Grand Prix would come after the next Grand Prix and so on and so forth. So where do the drivers go next in the next round of the F1 Championship?
So the next race, we're staying in Italy. First time we've got back-to-back races in Italy. Going to Mugello. So it's a brand new circuit for F1. It's a very historic track. It's hosted MotoGP and lots of other racing series in the past, but never F1. And because of obviously the limitations put in by the pandemic this year, they decided to keep everything European-based as much as they can. This arose as a candidate to host a race. So we've got that this weekend, which should be really exciting. Like, all the drivers are very excited to try a new circuit because, as you say, it's normally the same sort of roster of circuits every single year. And a big one for Ferrari as well. They'll be celebrating their 1,000th race at the circuit, which they own. So I think, very exciting for them. And just really cool to see some new tracks coming in. So I'm really excited for it as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You obviously mentioned Mugello. I was going to say, is that put Ferrari at a bit of advantage, being the course that they do their testing at?
It's definitely a little advantage, I think, because back before it was announced, even all the teams went to go and do a filming day, basically, to sort of refresh themselves after such a long break before the season started. And Ferrari picked Mugello, which was very curious, but obviously for a very deliberate reason. So it gives them a little bit of data, yeah. But I think that sadly, the situation that Ferrari are in right now, I think it's going to take a lot more than that to turn things around and really give them anything too big to celebrate on their big birthday weekend.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a prancing horse. It seems to be like a dead donkey, if I'm perfectly honest with Ferrari at the moment. Finally, this is an interesting story that you've just tweeted in the last couple of minutes, that F1 are thinking about doing something different in the wake of the Grand Prix at Italy.
Potentially, yeah. So they've been looking at introducing a reverse grid sprint racing instead of qualifying, and that was the plan for this year. So the idea was that you'd have drivers who were at the front of the championship last year start at the back of the grid and basically have to fight their way through the order, and then you'd like teams like Williams and Haas, they would start at the front and sort of try and hold on and stay there. And the idea got support from everybody it required except Mercedes, who blocked it. And because of the governance rules, it meant that it had to be unanimous, so therefore the idea was rejected. But then after obviously that race yesterday, I mean, it proved how exciting it is seeing new names at the front, new cars at the front, drivers fighting their way up the order and things like that. That's really sort of got, I think, F1 thinking about it again. And crucially for next year, there's a change in the governance structure of F1 that means it would take three teams to reject it before the idea got cancelled. So basically, if they did the same vote again they did about 4 or 5 months ago, and it was only Mercedes saying no, that wouldn't be enough to block it. So I'm actually really, really excited and positive about that, the chance of that happening. Like, I'm pretty sure it will be going ahead for next year, and we'll maybe see a few Grand Prix. It won't be all of them, it'll maybe be sort of three, four, or five, but we'll have that sprint race instead of qualifying, which I think would be something really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like as if the people who maybe get a ticket for qualifying for like the British Grand Prix at Silverstone, for example, and they don't get a ticket for the full Grand Prix, they get like a mini race and then the full thing the next again days. This certainly sounds exciting for the fan.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what F1 wants to do now. Like I think since the takeover, they've been way more focused on what fans want. And after yesterday's race, you just have to look on social media, and everyone's going crazy saying, "Oh, we need more of this. Like, we want more reverse grids. We want more sort of new names in the front and things like that." So I think that is what F1 is sort of looking to cater to for next season. And from a competitive point of view, you can really understand why Mercedes said no, because I mean they're normally at the front. Why would they then say, "Yeah, we'll go to the back and we'll fight our way through"? And they would never agree to that. So I think that it's something really different, and I'm really excited by the prospect of it. And it does sort of give fans sort of more bang for their buck as well. Like, they can go on a Saturday, and even if they can't see the race, they'll get, as you say, this sort of mini race that I think could be maybe even more exciting than the actual race, because you've got all these drivers flying out of position.
Certainly looking forward to that, if that is the case for next season. Luke, a pleasure chatting to you. Thanks very much for your insight of what went on this weekend at the Italian Grand Prix. And then, as you say, they go to Mugello. I'm interested to find out what happens there. That's Luke Smith from Autosports Magazine chatting there. F1 here on the Max.